Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, Yasher Koach, Sam. Very special to see when someone celebrates a birthday. Generally, I think all over the world, it's ubiquitous. You take, get gifts. But for somebody that wants to not just take, but they view their birthday as an opportunity to teach more Torah, that is very, very special. So Sam, Bezrat Hashem, we should celebrate more birthdays together with you and be recipients of more of your Torah. We have the schus of learning Parshas Tzav this week, this upcoming Shabbos. I say that learning, I usually don't begin that way, because on a typical year, we have Tzav, we lane it every year, but it's generally very tied into Shabbos HaGadol. And the emphasis and the focus is not necessarily on the Parsha, but it's very much on Pesach, Inyan HaDiyoma. So it's an opportunity this year, every few years we get this opportunity to look more into the Parsha itself of Tzav and focus on the amazing and very important mitzvos. Really, the theme of Tzav continues on. Vayikra gives us the framework of many of the korbanos. That's the main theme. And Tzav really continues that moving forward. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Tzav es Aaron ves banav lemor. You should command Aaron and his children with the following. Welcome, Jeff. Great to have you. Zos Torah Sa'ola. This is the Torah, the halacha, the lundas of the Ola. Hi ha'ola al mogda al mizbeah kol halayla. This is the Ola, the elevation offering that stays burning all night until the morning. Eish ha'mizbeach tukad bo. And the Eish, the fire of the Mizbeach, also stays burning the entire, right? The entire night. The Mishnah in Avos points out that this is one of the 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis Hamikdash every single day, that the Eish of the Mizbeach never went out. It always stayed burning. And the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, has a parish on the Pirkei Avos, and he writes, what is this miracle? The miracle is, Gemara Yuma, I think, elaborates on this, that if it was raining, literally raining in the Beis HaMikdash, the fire would just continue. And the message here is very, very simple, but it's a very important message, is that very often, right, life is that life rains on us. Things happen to us where it rains, and things aren't as easy and cheery every single day of our lives. Our job is to keep that fire, that fire burning, that fire of passion, that fire of consistency. That's what the Mizbeach represented, really regardless. So in spite of or despite of what is happening in our lives, continue moving forward in our lives. Rashi writes here, Tzav es Aharon. What's his language of Tzav? Ein Tzav el lashon zirus. Here, Tzav means command. Obviously, like the Torah doesn't have to tell you, it's a commandment. There's a framework. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor. And then Moshe tells whoever he needs to tell what the mitzvah is. Obviously, there's a mitzvah, there's a commandment here. Right? Many people, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein has an article on this. He says, people like to translate the word mitzvah as good deed. He says, that's not what it is. He was a brisker, right? Tzav, but tzav means commandment. The definition of a Jew is that we are commanded to do things. We do things out of a sense of obligation, out of a sense of responsibility, not because it's good or makes us feel good. Okay, that's like maybe secondary. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes it's not true. And it's something to keep in mind. But many Mefarshim are curious here. Why here do we need Lashon Zeros? Why all of a sudden by the Korban Ola do we need this language that we need more encouragement to perform this mitzvah? And then Rashi continues, Amar Rabbi Shimon, the Yoser Tzarech HaKasav Lezarez, the Malkom Sheesh Bo Chesron Kis. Rabbi Shimon, quoted in Rashi, says, oh, you know why here you need more encouragement to do this mitzvah because there is a loss of money associated with this mitzvah. There's a chesr and kiss when it comes to this mitzvah. That's why it needs a little bit more chizuk, encouragement, when it comes to this mitzvah. Where Moshe Feinstein says that many of the Rishonim are bothered by this. Because what's the chesr and kiss in this mitzvah? What is the loss? So we're talking about a korban ola, and the halacha is by a korban ola is that the korban itself is completely burnt up, kulo kalil lashem, and nobody partakes in the korban. So you could say the simple understanding is that that's exactly that the chesr and kiss is here. I, as the Baal, if I brought a korban ola, I do not participate in this. I don't eat it, right? And the kohanim, who generally get some type of chelek in some of the korbanos, here get zero, right? So maybe that's what is going on. However, he says, it's really hard to understand here because bottom line is you're doing a mitzvah. So there's no loss of money. Maybe, you know, it's a poor way of looking at it. So the Ramban in the Or Chaim HaKadosh, he quotes, say that's a very difficult way of understanding this. That's a very unhealthy way of understanding a mitzvah. We're giving money towards a mitzvah, and the mitzvah itself is the means unto an end. So what is a chesr and kiss here? So Ramosha suggests the following. And why does this need more encouragement? He says what you could see from this halacha, or maybe what people could learn from this halacha, is that just like you don't benefit from the, physically benefit from the korban ola, maybe when it comes to life in general, we don't need to benefit from life. We don't need to gain any, you know, enjoy the world around us. We don't need that. Learn from the korban ola. That is the prime example. And therefore, whatever assets you have, whatever enjoyment you get, whatever hana you get, whether it's from the piece of cake or from the bagels and lox or from elaborate vacation. No. He says that would be taking the idea and the concept of the korban ola too far. So he says, what's the chesr and kiss here? Not in the mitzvah itself. We don't want to call a mitzvah chesr and kiss. But it's that people might take the message to the extreme, right? Of what the goal of this mitzvah is, what it's supposed to teach us, and therefore we need zeros here. We need to be careful when performing the mitzvah of korban ola. Again, not to go off to be on one extreme or the other extreme. To be a sadist or to be somebody that is completely involved in this world without any spiritual pursuits. And he says that's why this mitzvah needs this a little bit of a balance here between what you take from the world and what you leave off in the world.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I mean, people say also usually your mother always teaches you, don't waste it. So it seems to be, I think that's great to Jewish kids. And then you take your carbon in a way like you're just like using it, it's burning it all up. You're just like kind of wasting it.
You would think, meaning
in a way,
a faulty.
No one's eating it. It's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I could imagine my grandmother would have said that.
Right.
For sure would have. Yeah.
Because of how you handle this.
Because it could be thought of and construed in that way, right? But really, really, life is a balance between the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. Yerushalmi, it's quoted in the Mesil Shasharim, Yerushalmi says that after 120, Hashem's going to come to us and ask you or challenge you if you benefited enough from this world. I gave you a world. Did you gain? Did you benefit from this world? Everyone to their own degree and their own appreciation of the world. There was a machlokes between Rav Yochanan Levavitz and Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch. So Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch once was visiting the Alps. And they said he lived in Germany, right? He was visiting the Alps. He said, why do you need to visit the Alps? He said, because after 120, I'd go up to Shemayim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu said to come to me, say, Shamshi, you didn't visit my Alps? Come on. And so they say that Ruchan Levavitz was a very hardcore, he's a Mashiach Ruchani. In the mirror, he said, he heard that story, he goes, I gained that from looking at the rocks on the ground and seeing how an apple seed germinates into a beautiful tree. I don't need to go that far. Okay, so I think both are correct, but you have to know who you are and what type of person you are and how you're going to gain appreciation for Hashem's world. So that's the first idea here about Tzav B'Lashon Ziruz. Or Moshe then continues and asks maybe an obvious question that we have, the Torah commands us to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah. Several times throughout the Torah, the concept of tzedakah, it is ubiquitous with being a Jew, is to give tzedakah. It's not a question. What is tzedakah? What does the word mean? Does it mean charity? Does it mean justice? What's the motivation of tzedakah? Does it come from one or the other? He says, how come the mitzvah of tzedakah does not have this language of tzav? If tzav is when it comes to a chesron kiss, I'm losing my pocket, there's a loss of money, then ein lecha chesron kiss, gadomei mitzvah tzedakah. So how come when it comes to tzedakah, do we not have this language of tzav as b'nei Yisrael to give tzedakah? Why is that? Yes. Both. We have both. We have a halva'a and we have tzedakah. We have both. We have both. Yeah. Oh. So that's a good point. But either way, it's still a chesher kiss, because when someone's giving a loan, there's always a risk that the person's not going to pay it back. There's always a risk. And we're not always asking for a guarantor on the loan, because that's the machshava, that there is a thought there that I'm giving this completely, you know, to you, and you don't pay it back. Okay, that's fine too. So that's exactly where Moshe Feinstein says. Where Moshe says that it's not really your money to begin with. So if the Torah would say it, then it would cast tzedakah in a different way. If we view tzedakah that it's not really my money, right? Hashem gives us the opportunity to have it, and really not opportunity, a responsibility to use it the right way, right? Then it's not a chesrum kiss; it's my achrayus, my distinct responsibility and opportunity and mitzvah to help out those that need help. And the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Halacha Beis Matnos Aniyim Laolam. In Adam Ani Min Hatzdaka, he quotes, a person will never become poor, impoverished from giving tzedakah. Vein davar ra velo hezek niglal bishvil tzedakah. No evil or bad will ever happen to someone because they gave tzedakah. The Rambam is purely intellectual, right? This sounds like a Hasidic Rebbe wrote this. This doesn't sound like the Maimonides, that the Rambam wrote this. The Rambam is a halachic work. The Rambam is not a hashkafa sefer, but the Rambam is instructing us about the mitzvah of tzedakah, and it's really shaping the mitzvah itself. I don't know why. Maybe someone here or maybe someone listening is aware, but the happens to be a Rav Moshe Feinstein. We just started learning the sefer Kol Ram. I got at the end of, in the middle of Shemos, he writes a lot about tzedakah. I'm not sure why. Maybe it was the generation that he was speaking to. Some of these are his drushos that he gave in the Sefer Kol Ram, and not necessarily like the writings that he wrote to himself. But I don't know. It's a curiosity of mine as to why that is so. I'm not sure. Okay. Moving right along. So this Shabbos is also, I think it's Parshas Parah. Is that accurate? I think it is, yeah. It's Parshas Parah. Okay. I'm still in the hangover from post, not the physical hangover, but just the action from Purim. I have a great sefer here. It's in English. It's called Eretz Yisrael in the Parsha by Rabbi Moshe Lichtman. It's very, very beautiful. I look at it almost every single week. Very, very nice. So the Haftorah for regular Parsha Tzav, which I mentioned it's not usually Shabbos Hagadol, it's not regular Parsha Tzav either, because it's we're going to lay in Parshas Para from Chukas, and we're going to lay in the Haftorah, which I believe is from Sefer Yechezkel. The Haftorah for Parsha Tzav is from Yirmiyahu, Perek Zayin. And Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, and Perek Tes. It's a Leibedic Haftorah, which is not going to be read. And I want to just quote one pasuk here, and you tell me what the problem with this pasuk is. Ko amar Hashem, Perek Zayin, pasuk Chaf Av. Ko amar Hashem, Tzvakos, Elokei Yisrael. Olo Sechem, Sifu al Zivchechem, Ve'ichlu Basar. Okay, so Hashem told us, add your burnt offerings to your peace offerings and eat their meat. Okay, good. Ki lo dibarti, this is it. Es avoseichem velotzi visim v'yom hotzi'i osam eret Yisrayim al divrei ola v'zevach. Because I never commanded your forefathers or spoke to them from the time they left Egypt about korbanos. I never told them about the Ola and the Zevach. What? What about all of Sefer Vayikra, right? What is Yirmiyahu Navi saying, right? The question like really jumps out at you, like what in the world is going on here? Okay, so the Mefarshim on Yirmiyahu, on the Navi, are very perplexed by this. The Radak says maybe it's referring to immediately they weren't, and only a little bit later were they commanded. It's also a tough sell. By already there was a Mizbeach with Korbanos brought on Har Sinai. There was Svachim brought at the end in the Parsha Mishpatim. It's a little bit of a tough nevuah here. So he quotes, Rabbi Lichtman quotes Rav Sorotzkin in Ozayim LaTorah, who says the following idea. It's a very nice idea. It's still a tough question. Okay? It's still a tough question. He says that, of course, Hashem commanded us about the sacrifices, about the korbanos. But really, the korbanos are not a means to themselves, or not ends to themselves. They're a means to something greater. And what Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Rav Sorotzkin, suggests is saying is that Hashem didn't just tell you to just bring a korban, that was it, and leave, to be yotze. Like I'm gedavent. I was yotze, no. The goal of the korban is to bring us closer to Hashem. The goal of the korban is to elicit tshuva. It depends what type of korban, to gain a greater sense of appreciation of the Ribono Shel Olam. So he says that when Yirmiyahu was telling us, bring it all to Zevach, yeah, because that wasn't the only goal. The goal was to bring the korban, which helps us in turn with a greater goal, and that is to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is why, right, the word korban comes from karev, right? Karov, which means to come close. That is ultimately the goal of the korbanos. Too often, right, we spend our lives like waking up in the morning and we try to check the boxes. We dive in shachris, we give a little tzedakah, I said hello, I dive in mincha. We want to like check off the boxes. What Yirmiyahu is telling us is that Hashem doesn't want us to check off the boxes. Of course, they're mitzvos we need to do. We live a life of commandedness. But if that's all you're doing, just checking the boxes, then that's not what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants us to get closer to Him, to create a beautiful, real, robust, nuanced relationship with Him. And that's the depths, maybe the amkus, of really what Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself was expressing. Okay. I was not going to do one second. Let me see this. Yeah.
No disrespect to Korbanot.
Go ahead.
Though it would never be a modern day health department if they ever would have been again with all that blood and flies and all that stuff.
No flies. No flies.
Rabbi, repeat the question, please.
Shira didn't ask the question yet. Go ahead.
So the thing is, I personally feel that prayers and tefillah are a way to bring you closer. When you were mocking the korban, it's not like you were doing a backyard barbecue. You brought it to the, the Levi'im and Kohani, and they actually did it. Yes, you brought it. It was your gift to Hashem. But, I can't speak for anybody else. There are times when I'm dying, which is almost like rote. And then there are other times where, I really focus more on the words. And it makes, for me, a more specific connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, which I feel I would never have if I just brought a korban for, a Kohen.
When it comes to korbanos, again, it's hard for us to really relate to it because we've never experienced it. I can imagine. I remember Rabbi Mendel Blachman, who's a Rosh Shiva in KBY, came to Reshit. I remember towards the end of my year in Israel, and he spoke about how, you guys really want korban, like this is what we're davening for, and is it going to smell? No, there was a miracle that it didn't smell in the first place. There was no flies. Leave that all off. It's a very difficult thing for us to experience based on our modern sensibilities. And we're not just, even again, 50, 60, 70 years ago, most Jewish homes were doing malichas. So you're exposed to something. Now there's nothing. It's all done very much outside the home in different states. So you're right. But at the same time, the individuals that brought the korbanos were also required to daven, next to the korbanos, or as they were being brought, depending on, what location the korbanos were brought in. Chavetz Chaim is medayik actually from our psukim in Parshat Tzav, that you even read the psukim if you brought a korban ola, you read the psukim associated with it as a way of you connecting to it and it needed to be fulfilled. Wasn't ma'akev, but that was really part of the goal of the korban itself, the tshuva process and the coming close process. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. This is what Shmuel Hanavi brought to us. Shmuel Hanavi was mechadesh, not mechadesh, but he taught it to Eliyahu Cohen, is that even a zar can be makriv, could not be makriv, because shecht.
Right.
The korban, yeah.
So
yeah.
People could be involved.
Yes, they could shecht the korban. Correct, they can. The Torah tells us in the halacha of the iser, we cannot eat chelev for fats of certain animals. Sure, chesav is, and also dam, right? Ki adam hu nefesh. The pasuk says kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam. Oh, sorry. B'chol dam lo sochlu, b'chol mosh voseichem, la'uf v'la behema. When it comes to blood, we can eat blood. B'chol mosh voseichem, any of our, I don't know, how would you translate that word? Dwellings, la'uf for a fowl, or for a behema, or for a non-domesticated, or domesticated animal. Sorry. So, What is Bechom Mosh Voseichem here adding? I can't eat it. It matters where I'm dwelling? No, it doesn't matter. Rashi is bothered by this. And Rashi says, Lefishihi Chovas Aguf, it's an obligation on me, right? The person, all of us, not on a place. Vena Chovas Akarka. Noheges Bechom Mosh Avos. And the Torah is here pointing out that this obligation is in fact not depending on where you're living, meaning it applies in Eretz Israel, in Chutz La'aretz, when there is a base of Mikdash, when there isn't a base of Mikdash. And that is the literal translation of this pasuk. Rav Galil Rabinovich says something very, very sharp. He says, "Dev shelafarish bazeh b'derech haremes." I see a hint, something alluded to in this pasuk. Shabala rames al yom ha-shabbos. I see a hint here about the observance of Shabbos. What does it say? What does it say? You should keep Shabbos b'chol moshev oseichem. What? Yes. Lo sevaru esh b'chol moshev oseichem b'yom haShabbos. Also there, so he says here, you see an allusion to the mitzvah of Shabbos here too. Moshvo Seichem, Moshvo Seichem. I know Masha Hizir b'Shabbos Davka L'Adam. And why would this, why would the lo soch b'chol dam, you can't eat dam on Shabbos. Thank you so much. Ki hazman she'ochel Yehudi basar hu b'Shabbos Kodesh. We're proud b'shanim ha'kadmonios. Shol ha'isa yecholos v'argilos lechol basir me'ozachol. People predominantly only ate meat on Shabbos, not during the week, historically. Many people only eat meat on Shabbos, not during the week. Okay, some people do now also, that's totally fine. Says, what, then what's the message here? On Shabbos, you have to be careful that the meat that you're eating is kosher. You have to make sure, be very, very careful about that. Good. That is one idea. Yes.
Maybe you would watch them say over here, you know, some people say, like, I'm going to keep kosher. I keep it in my house, but I don't.
I can't keep it outside.
I keep it out. So maybe what you have to have a mindset is that wherever I am.
Consistency.
Is my house.
Inside and outside. Yeah.
Whether I'm in my house, whether I'm out of my house, it always has to be like my house.
Very good. Okay, very good. Very good. But now he says something very, very practical. Very, okay, everyone's eating kosher meat. Baruch Hashem. Would efshar lafarish b'derech remez. Lafi musar. Shemitoch sheragilasu b'shabbos. Sheyosham kulam yachad. Everybody, the family is sitting together, enjoying the meal of Shabbos. What can very easily happen? There can arise disagreements amongst the people at the table. Some families have to regulate. We're not going to talk about certain topics at the table. Be very careful. L'kach tivsa ha-Torah shlo lishpoch ha-echad es dam achiv. Don't spill your friend's blood. What do you mean don't spill your friend's blood? Going to murder him? No, we're not worried about that. Maybe in some houses we are worried about that. What are we worried about? What is, according to Chazal, spilling blood is removing the redness from your face, embarrassing somebody. So in Shabbos, we could be more susceptible to causing someone embarrassment at the Shabbos table. V'chol dam lo sochlu. Don't consume, right, your friend's blood on Shabbos at the Shabbos table. Dam achiv haynu lahalbin es pnei chaveiro. And he says here, v'gam ha'av, also the father, right, who's typically running the Shabbos table. Parents, you'd be very, very careful about the kavod of their children, specifically at the Shabbos table. To not embarrass them in front of others. To yell at them or to ask them to do something that they're not comfortable doing. Sometimes you, especially Pesach Seder, but it's really all year round. Can you read that? They don't know how to read so well, right? Or you ask them a question and it's not what the Shabbos table is for necessarily. You have to be very, very careful. And this is, he says, this becomes a mitzvah haba'a bi'aveira. A mitzvah haba'a bi'aveira, when and how we are running our Shabbos tables. And he says the Kedusha of Shabbos is so great, and the potential of growth is so great, that the potential of the opposite is also there as well. It's not the most obvious way to talk about it, but somebody that loved Shabbos tremendously passed away last night, Senator Joseph Lieberman. And he wrote a book, which I have not read. I just ordered it last night on Amazon, about the gift of rest, about Shabbos. I never had the schus to meet him, but I'll share one story. He had spoken when he was in 2000, when he was the VP candidate, the first Jew and only Jew right now ever to be on the ticket to become, you know, vice president of the United States of America. He obviously, a lot of campaigning is always done in Florida. It's a major swing state. And he spoke in a shul. My aunt and uncle shul, they daven in Miami Beach, North Miami Beach. And the rabbi, the shul, told me the story is that for whatever reason, he couldn't stay in someone's house. Like that was obvious. Like with all the, you know, it was very, very close then with all the security, that didn't work out. He had to stay like 3 or 4 miles away. And he walked Senator Lieberman like about a mile or two down the road. The Kiddush Hashem, right? He was walking on Shabbos as he did, and all security were just following him. He walked a total of 4 miles there back Shabbos morning. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Was the first out of it, then there's a story in a paper that at his high school graduation, he went to the prom, and it was Friday night, and he walked, I don't know who it was, wherever, and his friends got out of the car and walked with him.
Rabbi.
And
Rabbi.
Yeah, so one second, it's getting late, so I don't wanna. So this is just one example, and you see how literally walking, talking Kiddush Hashem he wasn't bombastic, he did not wasn't all over social media. He was himself in a very quiet way, and he didn't demand, but the respect that he got from both sides of the aisle, which today is not a simple thing, is very, very impressive and very special. And it's a loss. It's a loss for us, for Klal Yisrael, and really a loss for the United States of America. I'm going to stop here. Double shiur today, double header, Baruch Hashem. And I wish you have a really wonderful Shabbos.
Rabbi.
Rabbi. All right, I need to run, okay? Please.